Welcome to KPTZ's Nature Now, a program of information and insights about the natural history of our region. We welcome observations and suggestions from our listeners, care of kptz.org.
Hello and welcome to Nature Now for the second week of November 2018. I'm your host, Paul Rubin. Today, I will be talking with musician and educator Billy Brennan, also known as Billy B. I will also be joined by Alex Henley for observation, news, and upcoming events. But first, let's hear this week's mystery sound. A hint, they will eat absolutely anything. Their diet includes clams, crayfish, frogs, fish, snails, insects, slugs, dead animals, birds, bird eggs, as well as fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, and of course, garbage and pet food. Proper precaution is necessary for food storage while camping in areas where this mammal is found. They screech and scream into the late night and boast an extra digit, which sets them apart from other canine species. I had the opportunity last week to become certified for monitoring marbled murrelets with Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife. For the field portion of the certification, monitors spotted two marbled murrelets, a Bonaparte's gull, red-breasted mergansers, a belted kingfisher, pigeon guillemots, and female surf scoters. Qualified individuals are offered this course biannually in the fall and spring.
The Puget Sound Seabird Survey is in full swing this fall. The Puget Sound Seabird Survey is a community and citizen science survey managed by the Seattle Audubon that empowers volunteer birdwatchers to gather valuable data on wintering seabird populations in Puget Sound, the Strait of Juan de Fuca, and waters surrounding the San Juan Islands. Together, teams capture a snapshot of live seabird density on more than 5,400 acres of nearshore saltwater habitat. It is the only land-based, multi-month survey on the Southern Salish Sea. If you are interested in joining the Puget Sound Seabird Survey, please fill out the online application on the organization's website.
An osprey was sighted in Oak Bay County Park, Jefferson County, on November 10th. Ospreys are common visitors to our area in the late spring and summer. However, a sighting this late into the season is very uncommon. Rare sightings in Clallam County included a long-eared owl, yellow-billed loon, Clark's grebe, tropical kingbird, chipping sparrow, clay-colored sparrow, and palm warbler. So I'm here in the studio today with Billy B., artist and, well, specifically children's musician, but, you know, mostly just environmental music. And you could probably better introduce yourself, but do you want to give us a little background?
Sure. Yeah, I call myself Billy B., the natural science song and dance man, to give my give people an idea in one sentence, sort of what I do. But then they hear that and they think, you know, what does that mean? But I, it comes really from the ancient tradition of, you know, singing and dancing to communicate. I always tell people Madison Avenue doesn't use jingles because they're trying to be cute. They do them because that's the way us humans think. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And we remember things in melodies. So commercials will use melodies to, you know, drill their message into our heads. I use that style, but I also use dance because what I tell people all the time is that kids want to do two things on earth, all kids, all cultures. They want to move and make noise. And I was, I took ballet in college, learned how to break dance when I was about 30. So I use that and I use gesture and sound effects in participation because if you're working with kids, you really have to do that. Now with adults, I can explain this stuff. I do like teacher conferences and teacher workshops and I have a lot of history doing that. And that's where I explain just using these techniques. Yeah. And then I played, you know, bars, singer-songwriter stuff, because I write big people songs, too.
Yeah.
I was a father with three kids, and this was a way I really could make money and also basically preach about something I believe in.
Yeah. So. Well, I've personally heard one of your, well, the Chesapeake Bay one. We'll get more into the specific albums you've put out.
And, sure.
But as far as music as an ancient form of language, one story that comes to mind is Chaco National Monument in New Mexico. Uh-huh. They go into the park rangers there. They explain just how they used dance as a language because they didn't have a written language. So, you know, to us, it just seemed we may not understand that, but to them, this was a very important part of their culture, dancing annually to get children to know why you need to do something, kind of like a rain dance or a, you know, a ceremony dance, or most of that was astronomical events, because they were very in tune with the stars and different you know, eclipses and things going on. So they had to dance to get that information across to the youth. It was the best way they could find to do it. So I think that kind of, we love that when we were there. So Yeah, and you like to focus on environmental music because it is your background. Do you have a background in the environment, or is it just...
No, when I first started this, I was becoming a teacher. Well, actually, I had been a songwriter since I was 16. I picked up a guitar and started writing songs right away, inspired by Dylan. And so lyrics were often very focused. My focus was lyrics. Then I went to Europe for a year almost and played guitar in the streets, the street minstrel, and really learned how to perform. And I just, at that point, was learning. My big moneymaker was Here Comes the Sun. I learned that from George Harrison's Bangladesh album. I spent like 2 days in Heidelberg really figuring it out, what he was playing, because it's just him with the guitar on that album. But I learned how to perform, and I went back to school to become a teacher when I came back from Europe. And that's when I also was an education major with a minor in dance. And I had a class called Dance and Childhood Education, where I had to come up with a program for my semester that was at the big semester project where I could use dance in a classroom. I was also student teaching, and my head teacher was teaching about trees. And I was living in a cabin in the woods on the shores of Lake Michigan, on the north side of Milwaukee, going to University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. So I thought, well, I'll just do a dance program about trees. So but I was writing these different dances to explain how a tree worked, because then I quickly realized I really don't know how trees work.
Yeah.
I had to work with a friend who was a botany major. And one of the little poems I wrote to go with the dance was just came to music. So it was a wet ground, warm sun, my life as a tree has just begun. I'm so sure I have no doubts, because my shell is cracked and I have a sprout. It's growing up and growing out, and growing up and growing out. Yippee, hooray, I am a sprout. Yippee, hooray, I am a sprout. And that was my first children's song. Yeah. It's still being used by a lot. Actually, Australia uses it in their programs for teaching kids, and that one's gone around the world. But it was really written.
And that was when you just began.
Yeah, it was just began. It was my first one. I took that class. I realized this. I love doing this, and I got to my junior level in college. I thought this is what I want to do, and I left school at a junior level. Mm-hmm. And my friends were saying, you left school to sing songs to kids about trees. Good idea.
But well, it sounds like you knew what you wanted to do.
Yeah,
that's what most people are looking for. You know?
Right. I got a vision. Plus, I thought it would fit my personality. Now, 9 CDs later, and thousands of shows for all over the country. That's what I do.
Got 6 here with us, and Billy B sings about trees. Romp in the Swamp. Billy B, The Ways of the Bay, that's the one that I've listened to, and we love it. My fiance and I, who also started doing programs here.
Oh, cool.
Well, this program, she kind of fills in when she can. Energy and Me with Billy B and PLT.
Yeah, Project Learning Tree.
Okay, great. Yep. And then Nature in the City and Biodiversity, which is actually with the WWF.
Yeah, I met with their scientists for 2 days and listened to all the grim news and try to figure out how can I not bum kids out and write, upbeat songs. The fact the biodiversity song is pretty popular on YouTube, and it's great because I just want to see the comments, kids from Ireland or the Philippines, and
Well, that is great, because I know environmental science to me and, a lot of my friends, it kind of has a negative turn to it, because we're always talking about all the things that are kind of negative or things that make us, we're trying to fix. We're always trying to fix. It's kind of a depressing subject sometimes, and to be able to take a swing and turn that into something to be more uplifting, because it is life, right? And that's generally what biology is a study of life, and to have a positive outlook on it is great for kids, at least. And
well, also the kids, they can handle quite a bit of negative information as long as they get a chance to sing and dance and laugh, and so you say, this is what the scene is like. I talk about the Cuyahoga catching on fire, and of course I say to the kids, you happened 45 years ago, and they go, what? I said, or I always tell them, you guys say, no, what, Billy? And so they answer back, no, what, Billy? And then I say, a big river in our country caught on fire, and the kids go, what? And they don't know about it. But then I imitate some guy throwing a cigarette on the river, and the river catches fire, and the kids all jump and laugh.
Yeah.
Of course, oil would really catch fire like that. Gas would, but oil wouldn't. But I talk about the three real positive things, especially with the middle school kids. I talk about the Clean Water Act. Mm-hmm. Every major river in our country today is cleaner than it was 40 years ago. I take Prince's song, Purple Rain, and change it to Acid Rain. It's all about... the scrubbers and the smokestacks have corrected that. I was catching fish, bass, up in an upstate New York lake about 3.5 years ago that was dead 35 years ago. So that's been corrected somewhat. There's still acidic rain, but it's not as bad as it was. Now we have other acid water problems, CO2 being absorbed. But the other one was the Montreal Protocol. So I take Bob Marley's... I'm going to pick the guitar.
Yeah, let's
quick.
Start going here.
So I take Bob Marley's song, No Woman, No Cry. I drop it down a key and a half, I think. I can't sing as high as Bob. 30 miles up in the atmosphere, where there is the ozone, stops UV rays from the mighty sun, from frying our home. Yes, you are born protected all your life by a layer you can't even see. All the green plants and the animals big and small, they say, please listen to me. They sing now. No ozone we fry, aye. No ozone we die. No ozone we fry, aye, 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 aye. No ozone we die. I get all the eighth graders going, die!
Love it.
I do that one in Stairway to Heaven. There's a lady I know whose skin cancer grows in UV rays from heaven. But I talk about, you know what, the Montreal Protocol was an international environmental agreement. Mm-hmm. So we can do those, like the Paris, you know, climate change accord.
Yeah.
And they work. And this one did work. The ozone, we think, is getting back to where it was by 2050. We still have to do some more corrections. But the idea of Earth Day is not about save the Earth. It's about change our behavior.
Yeah.
So I get the kids
understanding.
Change our behavior. It's our behavior. It's not about the Earth.
Yeah.
I always say the Earth is going to be here no matter
what. It'll be fine. Yeah.
It'll be fine.
It's us. And
it'll wash us off and, you know. Yeah, but hopefully we want to survive.
It's it's our survival at hand here.
Right, exactly.
At stake here. I'm actually from Florida, which I told you, and we love reggae music, so anything with Bob Marley, you know, that's pretty great. I love the way he changed the No Woman, No Cry.
Bob does it in the key of C, which is too high for me. People, you know, talk about Bob, but he really has a beautiful high voice. But I do want to play the one about the algae in the lakes. So I'm going to back
Let's do that one. I think that one actually is a little bit more relevant, you know, for this area.
Yeah, because it's, now here the Salish Sea is different because it's so deep. But the Chesapeake, when the waters along the Gulf Coast, very shallow. And when the nutrients hit there and the sun can go through, it'll just, it makes the, and the lack of movement makes the algae explode. And so I wrote this all across the USA. Well, all across the USA, you can hear the people say, there's so much algae in our lake. When I swim, I take a rake. And when it stinks to high heaven, it ain't for heaven's sake. P.U., yeah, fish, swim, belly up. And if you put some of that lake in a cup and drank it, you'd swim that way too. If farmers in the country, homeowners in suburbs, lose topsoil and fertilizer, streams and overcurbs, and the topsoil and the fertilizer runs into the river as the rains come. River then carries its heavy load down to the lake where the algae grows and grows and grows and grows. But when there's a swamp that the river runs through, there's a lot that pot of peat can do. Thick green growth is a fine screener, topsoil and fertilizer retainer. Ah, the mighty, magnificent marsh. It would take what the lake would think harsh. It will hold on to what the river brings through. That mighty, magnificent marsh. And all across the USA, you can hear the people say, ah, there's so much algae in our lake. When I swim, I take a rake. When it stinks to high heaven, it ain't for heaven's sake. And the kids go, P.U., yeah. Fish swim belly up. And if you put some of that lake in a cup and drank it, you'd swim that way too. That's true.
Nice.
So that's the, I would do that my Romp in the Swamp show, which I'm really not doing much anymore. I used to do that. When I go down to Florida, when I tour in Florida, played a lot along the Gulf Coast, actually. Sanger Theater down in Mobile, Alabama.
So I know you just came out with your new album, Billy B and the Salish Sea.
Well, I'm done with the song. The album is a work in progress, so I don't have that as an album yet.
I haven't heard it yet, obviously, because there's not.
Okay, well, I could do one, songs? Two. Yeah, the Salish Sea song itself is another kind of reggae feel. Boy, I just came off a tour, and my voice is kind of crackly. So I'll have a nice little rest before my Tuesday performance.
Yes.
Which I think this show will be aired. It'll be already done. Seagulls squawk. Eagles fly from north and south. Ducks drop by. Falcons hunt. Hunt and flee. Tricky in the Salish Sea. Birds on the shore at low tide, pecking at the critters who are trying to hide. Under all that flat algae, living is tricky in the Salish Sea. The Salish Sea.
cold and rich with living things, the Salish Sea. Twice a day, the tide swings, the Salish Sea. The Georgia Straits, the Puget Sound, the Salish Sea. Salmon swim, orcas sound, treat them right, they're gonna stick around. Migrating birds of the water, fish and feed with the river otter. They're just here temporarily, flying all around the Salish Sea. Watch them circle, watch them rise, watch them look you in the eye. Watch them land in the trees, flying all around the Salish Sea. The Salish Sea, cold and rich with living things, the Salish Sea. Twice a day the tide swings, Salish Sea. The Georgia Straits, the Puget Sound, the Salish Sea. Salmon swim, orcas sound, treat them right, they're gonna stick around. Stick around if the water's clean, stick around if the air is too, stick around.
So yeah, that stick around was written for like the fourth through eighth graders, you know. But it'd be fun if I was up on stage to have them up by their own microphone going stick around, but getting the message across and letting them vent the way they would like to vent.
And yeah, I mean that's more than just a kid's song. That actually hits home in a lot of ways. I mean, it was just a great song. I like how you slid down the guitar.
Yeah,
the little
called octaves. Salish Sea.
But yeah, that's
it. When you walked out by the beach, you actually went. I mean, I've walked so many times along North Beach and many of the beaches here in the peninsula. The visions you often see. You see what's ever been washed up on the beach, you know, the kelp and the and the algae, you know, the eelgrass, depending on what the storm was and how high the tide was, certainly crab shells. But the birds are working the shore all the time, and you see them working through the flattened algae, which is funny because that when you go in the water, as you and I both have, all that beautiful algae is standing up and it's doing beautiful fluttering, swaying, and it's just dancing. And I have snorkeled a few times. You know.
Great, yeah.
Let me tell the viewers that Paul and I both got our scuba license recently.
Yeah. That's how we met.
Yeah, we met there. So I'm very excited going back out. And I know we have great diving right around here in Port Townsend.
Right off Point Hudson.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with you sometime.
Yeah, we'll have to coordinate.
And see what's down there. I changed from the first time you and I were in, I saw all the little shrimp down there. Now, I don't know if those are krill or if those are shrimp. I don't know. They were really small shrimp. But I got a little shrimp lure for my fishing line. And it was much more successful fishing after I... Yeah, replicated what you and I saw there.
Yeah, I don't think I got to see that, but I did see an octopus. That was get to see that too?
Yeah,
that was fun on our training date. It was a very murky day, but at a certain depth, we got to see a little bit more.
Remember, the murk was caused by a great zooplankton bloom.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, little living critters on a huge bloom. We made the water look green.
Couldn't
or milky green. Yeah. But we got down about 30 feet, it certainly cleared open.
So that's when you could actually see it. Yeah, the visibility cleared up. It's having a blast over there.
So what I was going to say, about the Salish Sea, the one thing I'm going to do in this show, which I think people in Washington have right to have some pride in, is the Keystone Species idea, which came from Bob Payne, who studied the sea star. Pisaster ocracius is the name of it. But you see the big starfish, sea star.
Yeah, sea star.
Now, I do, a hip-hop song about the intertidal zone, and the sea stars stay down on the lower level. So they're at the low tide line. The barnacles way up on top, or the mussels are way up on top, because the mussels will only be where the sea stars can't go because the sea stars eat them. Bob Payne showed that the whole ecosystem is sort of controlled by the starfish. And if you take the starfish away, as he did, he would drive out to the Pacific coast on one rock with a crowbar and pull off the sea stars and throw them out in the water. And he did this for years. This is observational science, which is the hardest kind. But he ended up saying, without this sea star, what happened is the mussels just took over slowly. Mussels don't eat the other creatures. They displace them.
Yeah, outcompete them.
There's no place for them to grow. And after, I think it was about 8 to 10 years, there's nothing but mussels on the rock. So I hold up a little, you know, two-dimensional sea star in my show, and I say, this is not a starfish. It is a sea star. It's as different from fish as you and I are. It doesn't have blood. Its salt water flows in its veins, and it has a ridiculous scientific name. In science, this is called Pisastrocracius. Without them, it would be a disaster, good gracious. Then we do the Keystone Species song and dance with the kids, depending on what kind of audience I have, if the kids want to. Mm-hmm. Usually, I have about an hour and a half worth of material, and I just look at the kids and adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
But the Keystone Species idea is going to be in every show because it's crucial.
It is. I mean, if you live in Port Townsend or really anywhere in the country, there's some imbalance going on. Here, you might notice the deer, or you might notice what other species. Well, there's a lot to use it as an example, yeah. But maybe wolves in Yellowstone or, you know.
Well, in fact, I talked to an ocean biologist, you know, who had been trained and hadn't been in the field for like 20 years, and he knew about the Keystone Species. And I said, well, they're using it now to represent all ecosystems. Yeah. And he was, he researched and said, oh, you're right. Because mm-hmm. they went from the Pisastrocracius to the sea otters in Alaska. And that yeah. and Bob Payne was involved with that, too, with a friend. Mm-hmm. And they proved that the sea otters are controlling the urchins so the kelp beds could exist
yeah.
without keeping the urchins in control. But here, my scuba friends have told me that, and I've seen evidence that it's the wolf eel.
The wolf eel.
Because we don't have sea otters here anymore. Oh. But the wolf eel can crunch right through the urchin's shell, which is for the kids. You know, I'll put my fingers up like, you know, spines and imagine biting right into a spine. And the wolf eel does that. And they're the ones who are really protecting the kelp beds here, I think. But you and I should go down. We have to time it for the current,
yeah.
but go down to the kelp beds right off the North Shore, I think.
Yeah, on slack tide, I think the best time to do it. Love
I want
to
be Billy B from Port Townsend, not Billy B from New York City. You know, I lived in Brooklyn before this, and then before that, Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. But PT is my home now.
Part-time.
That's right.
PT stands for part-time. Well, full-time for living.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I'm getting on a plane and flying too often out east to perform, so I'd like to be doing that around here and singing about this beautiful environment.
Love to have you in again. You know, on another occasion, we could have done a double show.
Yeah.
But maybe we get together for another occasion here.
Well, if you have a specific theme you're doing.
I think so.
And I've got something, you know, like that's appropriate, and I've got a lot of stuff, so.
Yeah. Great. Well, I think we're kind of getting low on time.
Sure.
Is there any other song you want to play? Maybe we could play it at the end of this interview.
Sure.
We always have one song, so it might as well be from you. So, Billy B, and thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, Paul.
Let's hear that mystery sound again. Also known as a trash bear or garbage panda, raccoons are a common sight in parks in Washington. Raccoons pair up only during the breeding season, and mating occurs as early as January to as late as June. The peak mating period is March to April. After a gestation period, two or three kits are born. The kits remain in the den until they are about 7 weeks old, at which time they can walk, run, climb, and begin occupying alternate dens. At 8 to 10 weeks, the young regularly accompany their mother outside the den and forage for themselves. By 12 weeks, the kits roam on their own for several nights before returning to their mother. The kits remain with their mother in her home range throughout winter, and in early spring seek out their own territories. The size of a raccoon's home range, as well as its nightly hunting area, varies greatly depending on the habitat and food supply. Home range diameters of 1 mile are known to occur in urban areas.
For upcoming events, the Jefferson Land Trust is hosting a stewardship work party at the newly acquired Maristone Island Preserve. The preserve is a mature forest with rich diversity. One carpool will leave from Port Townsend at 9:15 a.m., and one carpool will be leaving at 9:45 from East Beach County Park on Maristone Island. For questions and more information, contact Carrie with the Jefferson Land Trust and at the Maristone Preserve webpage on the Land Trust site. So that's it for this episode of Nature Now. We hope you have enjoyed our program of authentic and eclectic news and information about the natural community where we live. Contact Nature Now hosts if you have comments, observations, or ideas. Email us at naturenow@kptz.org. Nature Now airs at 12:05 p.m. on Wednesdays with repeats here on KPTZ at 91.9 FM on Thursdays at 5:05 p.m. and Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Recent podcasts are also available on the KPTZ website. Thank you for joining us. I'm Paul Rubin.
And I'm Alex Henley.
Keep it real.
It's called Along the Bay, and we certainly have many bays and harbors here. There's an old blues singer named Jimmy Reed. This is kind of a Jimmy Reed style. Along the bay where the cordgrass grows, sea life breathes and birds feed on those. It's the pull of the moon and the sun each day. Tides roll in and roll away, roll away. By the bay, daybreak at low tide, the mudflats glisten, the young crab moves, but the seagulls miss them. Oysters are buried, the clapperels listen. By the tidal ebb and flow, whoa, yeah, yeah, yeah. Swim in with the high tide, swim by the grass and search a small fry. Insects and snails move up the green stem. When the tide's out, they move down again, down again. Moonlight at high tide, the grass undulates. The force of each wave as it dissipates. It's the rhythm and the roll, the water and its weight. By the tidal ebb and flow, whoa, yeah, yeah. By the bay, by the bay, by the bay.